The Omaha Steaks End of Season Sale is here to deliver everything you crave to reset after the holidays. From handcrafted USDA certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken and pork, and more. You know exactly what you're getting. Premium lean protein that everyone loves. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their end of season sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code AUDIO at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore recaps the loss to San Francisco 49ers Saints postgame. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, heartbreaking loss, back-breaking loss again. Virtually the exact same thing 2 weeks in a row, okay, which is brutal for Saints fans, for the players, for the locker room, for Kellen Moore. And we talked about how important a win would be just for momentum. You know, just to say, okay, Kellen got his first win. Spencer Rattler got his first win. It proves that, you know, what they're working on and what they're doing and the vision, it proves that it's working to a sense, right? Being so close twice like this for a team that's so desperate to prove that they can win is tough. So, you know, I'm sure Kellen feels that more than anybody.
There's pain just with losing again, another short one, but it really comes down to we got to do more of what winning football teams do. We got to play better in situational football. We got to pounce on opportunities when they're presented, and we got to give ourselves a better chance. And so,
I mean, that's exactly what I said in the recap yesterday, was that the Saints are playing hard. They are playing good at times. They are fine. Like they are, their numbers and all that stuff. The efficiency is okay. They're not great. But they're bang average. They're just playing average for the majority of both games. But they aren't doing the marginal things that winning football teams do. They aren't doing the marginal things like getting off the field on third down, you know, getting turnover, like making field goals, the untimely penalties, like the littlest things they aren't doing. And if they were doing those, they probably are 2-0, which is crazy. But they just aren't right now. And that's been the difference in both of these games. And sometimes that's harder as a fan, because I've seen a lot of people, you know, you can tell, because people in the comments or whatever, they'll say, we got to move on from Chris Olave. Or they'll say, get Juwan Johnson out of here. Or they'll say, Cesar Ruiz's fault. Or they'll say, you know, name the player, whoever. It's much easier to pinpoint a player than it is this, like, overarching, you know, marginal differences and the tiny things and just the minutiae of a game. But that really is where we are losing these games. Chris Olave's been good. Spencer Rattler's been good. Defense, for the most part, has been good, except for third down. Like, the defense against the run, been fantastic. Been amazing. Christian McCaffrey had, what, 60 yards? You know, James Conner had 30-something yards. Like, all that's been fine. Horrible on third down. Horrible. And it just skews the balance so much.
There's too much good in there to miss these opportunities. And so, yeah. You know, we got to play better, faster, learn from these things, and go from there.
That's absolutely something else. Like, they do have to play better, faster, a.k.a. they have to have, I mean, but that's another part of it. First drive, right? First drive looked pretty good against San Francisco. Missed pass, what should have been a touchdown. Juwan Johnson and slash or Chris Olave were open. Bad throw from Spencer Rattler. Olave didn't do enough to make the catch. Then third down, Olave doesn't see the ball, and then we miss a field goal. You know, it's like, there's good. The good is move the ball down the field, should have had a touchdown in field goal range. The bad, didn't score the touchdown, didn't make the field goal.
Not to dwell on the negative of the first half after all the good things in the second half, but I mean, did it feel like a lot of there was a lot of self-inflicted stuff, especially with penalties again that got you in that early hole?
Certainly, we got to, you know, so-called clean your own house, and you got to play cleaner football in all three phases. And there's only so many opportunities in these games, and you have to value each and every opportunity in all three phases. And when they present themselves, you got to take advantage of them, because there's only so many.
I know you have to defend against the scheme and not the quarterback, but how difficult was it? What was Mac Jones doing to really try to stick with it?
thought I just did an excellent job finding completions. You know, they hit a lot of in-breakers, you know, especially in a couple in those third downs. They hit some in-breakers in situations where, you know, you have a little bit of an advantage in some third and longs. And, you know, that's the story. When you get them behind and it's third and 10-plus, you know, we got to take advantage of those opportunities from a defense perspective.
Like, think about how the Saints are playing these games, right? Both games, eight quarters, $2, some would say, have been like as close as possible. And I don't even mean like the score. I don't even mean like the win share. I just mean like during the game. Like, you can feel it's like both teams are doing everything they can to get a first down. It's a very, you know, like it's a tight game. In those kinds of games, you only have so many optimal moments because everything's so close, right? You have to, it is imperative when a game is that close to take advantage of those optimal situations. The Saints are not. Like, third and long, that is a high percentage, you know, optimal situation, plus EV, however you want to phrase it, for the defense. A field goal opportunity, put points on the board, hugely important. You know, drop passes, stuff like that. When you are playing as close as this team is playing, you cannot do that. If you're up three scores, like the Cardinals were up against the Panthers, then all of a sudden, you know, it was whatever it was, 27-9. All of a sudden, the Cardinals had an interception in the red zone. Then they had a penalty. Then they let Bryce Young convert a 4th-and-16. Then they had a roughing the passer on 3rd-and-17. Then they had a defensive holding on 4th-and-5. Then they had, like, all this stuff that happened, and they still got the win because their margins were made way bigger because they were up in the game. The Saints are never up in the game. The Saints are, it's always like in that pocket where all those little bitty mistakes, like a 3rd-and-17 roughing the passer, a 4th-and-16 conversion allowed, a red zone interception, a 4th-and-5 defensive holding. For the Saints, that's game ending. That's game ending because it's the games are so close to each other. So the Saints do have to, like, if they are going to operate like that, which that is kind of like, that is part of it when you are playing at the way that the Saints do play right now. Like, when you're playing this kind of, you know, this muck it up kind of game, that's just going to be it. Like, if that's just going to that's just going to be how the game is when you're in that world. If you're going to keep things that close, which it's good on one hand because if it's that close, you have a chance to win. But, you know, the razor's edge is so thin.
For us, we got to put ourselves in better situations. You know, we can't be in these third and longs, and then when the opportunity presents itself, we just got to play clean football. We got to have everyone on the same page.
What do you think is the issue with third down defense for y'all on some of those third and longs?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. You know, obviously we want the rush to show up sooner. We want you know, the coverage perspective of it to play cleaner and give ourselves a better opportunity to be successful. And so, you know, everyone's going to design plays are plays. We just got to execute at a much higher level in those situations because we're doing too much good on first and second down to put yourself in those situations. And it's happened 2 weeks in a row. These third and 10 plusers, you know, we're giving up way too much in that situation.
Yeah, 2 weeks now, like 1 week, you never know what is actually a thing. Like, for the first week, we had a lot of questions about the penalties. Penalties were cut in half. I'm not worried about that moving forward. Alvin Kamara's usage, like, doubled the second week, so I think we understand how that's going to go. 2 weeks, very similar volume for Juwan Johnson and Chris Olave. We can assume moving forward that's how that's going to go. Unfortunately, the third down conversion problem has moved forward in both weeks. So that is now a problem. That something is happening. And like Kellen just said, it's a complex problem because on first down, second down, they're really good because they're getting them in these third and longs. So what's changing on third down? What is the problem on third down? That's got to be solved quick. The 49ers were in the game in the fourth quarter. They were 8 for 12 on third down. 8 for 12. And most of those are 3rd and 11, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 14. They aren't 3rd 1, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. 8 for 12. That's like, I mean, Madden on, like, rookie mode.
Kellen, what was your opinion of the play with Alvin where it was ruled?
Yeah, obviously the main component that they were discussing was whether it was a catch or no catch. And so, you know, there was enough action in there.
That was a crazy play.
I haven't seen. I just saw the TV perspective of it from the big screen. Obviously he had kind of controlled it with his hand. And so once that happened, it became a catch and, you know, there was a fumble. So
that was a crazy play because you could argue, like, is it a catch? He has the ball pinned up against his helmet. Who the hell even knows? But then, like, you could argue, were his shins down? Because you couldn't see his leg from where I saw the replay. That was just one of those, and man, another, like, back-breaking play where, like, you're operating in that margin, and then, boom, you have a fumble on the 30-yard line. You know, you have a fumble almost in the red zone.
It's close. I think, you got to be, conclusive and have a defined look there. Yeah. And so they felt compelled to say that.
Kellen, were you guys having discussions on the sideline about the footing during the game? It seemed like a lot of guys were slipping.
A few guys had commented on pregame, but I feel like I didn't see anything that drastically impacted the game necessarily.
You know, what's funny is that both games I've said are, just everyone in the stands and everyone watching the game, it's like, man, it seems like a lot of people are slipping, like a lot of people are falling down. You know, a lot of people, like, this has happened and that's happened and whatever. And then you also, it seems like a lot of people are, like, they're not seeing the ball. They're not tracking the ball. Like, it seems like there's a lot of plays where either, like, Pete Werner did it on the touchdown pass. Chris Olave did it twice early in the game. And I've had people tell me that were on the sidelines. They were like, no, not players or anything, but just people who, like, had sideline passes or whatever, said that it is super bright down there. And, like, the lights seem different. They feel different. And it's really bright. So I don't know if they're changing things and, like, the turf is different and the lights are different or whatever. But, and it sounds weird to even talk about, but it does seem like something is going on to where players are slipping a lot, and it takes them a minute to kind of find, to kind of get used to and find the ball.
What did you learn about your football team the first two games?
Yeah, through two games. We have a great group of guys that work their tail off. Their play style, you can't take advantage or, assume those sorts of things. We got everything we need, but we have to play cleaner football, and we have to play and do what winning teams do in each and every moment, from the beginning of the game all the way to the end. Every play matters, and we can't take it for granted.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I said the same thing after week one, but I'll say it again. I think this team proves they're not the worst team in the NFL. The way they play proves, like, they're good enough to hang with these teams. They're good enough to even win these games. Could be 2-0. But the reality is they're 0-2. And the reality is they're not doing what they have to do to win the games. They're doing what they have to do to compete in the games. They're doing what they have to do to be relevant. They're doing what they have to do to be in the game and have a chance to win. But they're not doing what they have to do to win. And you can be good or average or competitive or relevant or whatever the word is, but at a certain point, your record is what your record is. Now, 0-2 is not that. Like, 0-2 is not, okay, I've seen enough. You know, like, it is what it is. There's a lot of 0-2 teams in the NFL that are going to be fine. There's a lot of 1-1 teams in the NFL that's going to be fine. All right, the Eagles didn't have a hot start last year. It happens. Okay, there's a lot of 2-0 teams right now that aren't going to be fine. You know, there's a lot of 2-0 teams that are going to struggle and fall apart. There's a lot of, there will be 4-5-0 teams that will fall apart. All right, so two games isn't it, but at a certain point, you absolutely are what your record is. And the Saints, we'll see the numbers as they come out later this week, but I would assume the Saints are going to be right middle of the road in performance, just like they were in week one. But at a certain point, you have to do things that you have to do to win these games. You can't just be competitive and relevant and whatever and keep dropping the game.
Do you think Spencer took a step forward this week?
I thought he did some good things. I think, obviously, when you look back, you're going to see some missed opportunities, just like for all of us. We're going to miss opportunities in some critical situations, and there's only so many snaps in this game. We got to take advantage of them.
Yeah. Spencer was really good. I think Spencer was really good. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he was the highest-graded player out of the offense. He was great, and I thought he was better in this game than he was the first game. The first game, he was more of a game manager. This game, he was legit. But damn, just like the Saints, just like the team, Spencer does have moments where it's like the one miss or the one, hiccup is in a bad moment, or it's a critical miss or a critical hiccup. The touchdown should have been touchdown pass to Olave or Juwan Johnson. Great example. Rattler can be great the entire game, but if you miss the touchdown pass in a game with these kind of margins, You know, like, what am I supposed to do with that? Right? There was a third and like 12 that he skipped, that just had a bad throw and skipped it. I think it was to Shaheed. Shaheed was open. If he makes a throw, it's there. You know, like things like that. It's like 90% of it is great, but then the most important 10% sometimes we're falling short. Even the Kamara pass, you know, or the fumble. You could argue he makes a bad throw, which causes the fumble. I don't really subscribe to that. Once you make the catch, it's on you. You know, like, I don't care how hard the catch is. Once you make the catch, once the catch is there, you got to finish it. But even that, you know, it's like you put a better ball on him. Probably doesn't fumble. You know, you don't know for sure, but probably doesn't fumble. You know, so it's like.
The Omaha Steaks end of season sale is here to deliver everything you crave to reset after the holidays. From handcrafted USDA certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken and pork, and more. You know exactly what you're getting. Premium lean protein that everyone loves. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their end-of-season sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code AUDIO at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
His performance is a great example of the entire team performance. Where as a whole, yeah, he's going to grade out great. As a whole, it's going to look good. As a whole, all good. Yeah, great, great performance. But you know, in the handful of key moments, you get one to go your way. Saints could be 2-0, 1-1.
It seemed like Mac Jones was clean for a lot of the game.
Yep.
Were you happy overall with the pass rush? Was there talk about that? How would you describe the pass rush?
Yeah, obviously there were some situations where he was able to sit there in the pocket for too long, and you know, you let any of these quarterbacks in this league be comfortable in the pocket, you know, they're going to be able to deliver some things downfield, and so you know, we got to find a way to get to him sooner.
It's crazy because Mac Jones, I would say Mac Jones was better than Kyler Murray in the two games. I thought Mac Jones operated really well. There was a lot of times too where the play broke around him, and he made a play. There was a couple times where he was elusive, and he looked good. You know, I mean, that's Kyle Shanahan for you. But I thought Mac Jones played way better than Kyler Murray did.
For a lot of 49ers fans here today, got pretty loud in some situations. Do you think that had an impact on anything at all?
No, obviously we know they travel well. They always have historically, no matter where you're at, and so. You know, it's all part of this, you know, this experience.
I don't make any no doubt the 49ers traveled well. They always travel well. Certain teams, Steelers, Lions, Packers, 49ers, you know, some of the teams that just off the top of my head that I've been there and I've been like, man, this is a lot of people. Like the Steelers, ton of people every time. But I don't put a lot into that. It is what it is. You know, like people are like, this is an indication that the front office is selling tickets. I mean, I don't know. You know, who knows? But there was a ton of 49ers fans in there.
Yeah, we just got a, you know, cleaner and protection game. We got to give ourselves a chance. It was a quick win on their end. Huff did a nice job off the edge, and so we weren't able to give ourselves a chance. Yeah, it was pure progression. So obviously there was it was left to right. There was a couple options within that play, and you know, really we couldn't even get the play started.
Just you know, 2 weeks of a row where it comes down to the last drive, basically. Mm-hmm. What do you tell your guys going forward? Just to keep spirits high that you guys aren't competing, or is there anything you say there?
Yeah, our guys are competing. I think, you know, it hurts. It hurts when you lose games like this, and that's how it's supposed to feel. It's not supposed to – there's no feel-good moments out of this. There's plenty of positives, but you got to focus on winning and really focus on, you know, hey, the last drive, yes, absolutely. But there's so many opportunities from the first three and a half quarters that had a huge impact on winning this game. We had plenty of opportunities to take advantage of them, and we didn't.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Like, you know, back to the Carolina game, like Carolina was down 27-9. They were horrible, right? They have a chance with an onside kick and like they have a chance, whatever. That's a very different final drive than the Saints. For the Saints, it's much more true. And like Kellen said, you don't, like in both games, the Saints did not have to leave it to the final drive. If they are a little bit better in certain spots, that final drive is totally different. or the game is totally different. The Saints would have had, I think there was three drives at the end of the game where if Groupie makes the first field goal or if the touchdown happens or whatever, where the Saints are winning. You know, like, it's stuff like that where, man, or if Groupie makes the field goal, then, you know, the Saints are trying to kick a field goal to take the lead versus trying to score and then get a two-point conversion or whatever, whatever the situation is, right? Or the Kamara fumble. If the fumble doesn't happen, who knows what happens? We're in the red zone. Like, yes, the Saints have a chance to win at the end of the game, but because the games are so close, the game should have and could have been won two quarters previously. Like with the Panthers, that wasn't the case. The Panthers, they had to have the onside kick. They had to have the, you know, like, because the game was out of hand already. The game isn't out of hand for the Saints. They got to somehow succeed earlier and not leave it to the final drive. It's good to have a final drive to win it, for sure. You know, the game's in your hands. Like, that's what every team wants. But if you can not have that because you're winning, you definitely take that option. And the Saints could have had that in both games. Both games, they could have had the lead in the fourth quarter.
Hey, Coach, how do you balance taking the good and what needs to be improved for the rest of the season?
Yeah, that's the journey that you're on in the NFL. You have to take it each and every week. We have to educate ourselves. We have to go through a growth process. Certainly tomorrow's an important part. We have to grow from this. We have to get better. There is a lot of football ahead of us. You know, and so we need to take the next steps. And, you know, this next week will be our first time on the road. Big time challenge going up to Seattle. And our guys got to lock in. When you play on the road, you got to lock in and play together.
Do you take any positive out of the fact that you had a shot to win both of them in the last, you know, minute of the game?
You can say we're putting ourselves in position to win games. Ultimately, again, we got to do what winning teams do, and we got to take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah.
Did you feel like the penalties and mistakes were cleaned up at all? It seemed like it did kind of get less individual.
Yeah, there's still some uncontrolled or some completely controlled penalties, and so that's the main thing. You know, we can't have the silly ones, the third down penalties when we're in great position on defense, and the, you know, the, just the silly things on offense that 100% in our control. You know, we're downfield on one, and so we got to play better from that standpoint. I felt like we took a step. I think our operation was cleaner on offense. We were able to still.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was much cleaner as far as like the offensive, you know, like the pre-snap penalties and just the actual operation of the offense was absolutely cleaner. Which, like we talked about after week one, it's like, all right, you had a problem with the penalties. Can you fix it? They fixed it. So that is good to see.
Use tempo, but play it under control. Thought Spencer did a good job in that from that standpoint. But, again, we just got to play at a higher level.
What's, I guess, the stance on the missed Olave early in the game? Is that one you expect him to bring in?
Yeah. Obviously, we're going to look back at that, and I'll watch the film and see exactly how it went down. But obviously, it's a missed opportunity. It's a critical missed opportunity for us. It's a big time moment on a first opening drive, and so we're right there, and we got to get it done.
The tempo, can't remember which drive it was before the touchdown. Ran the ball three times in a row. Was that just to keep the tired defense on the field? You got to keep them.
Yeah. Certainly, we felt like the drive was extending. Felt like there was a lot of positives to keeping them on the field, forced them to stay organized, and so I felt like our guys, that was a good drive for us right before the half.
You talk about what you saw.
Yeah, good example though. Right before the half, great drive, but then situational stuff. You let the 49ers march down, score a touchdown with a minute on the clock, and with 9 seconds left, you allow a pass to the best player on the field. It's one thing if, you know, fourth string wide receiver gets open, but Christian McCaffrey getting open on third on a play with 9 seconds left and no timeouts. I was kind of surprised they even took the play because I'm thinking, man, if they get sacked, the half's over. You know, they like at that point, like where do you think the ball is going to go? And you allow Christian McCaffrey to beat you. But if you don't, like, that's another thing. We're like allowing that touchdown just can't happen. You cannot allow a touchdown with a minute left before the half when they get the ball to start the half. I mean, that's worst case scenario. They ended up fumbling, but that cannot be the case.
His legs certainly showed up. The fourth down was a really good decision with the ability to throw it, and he ran with it, and so certainly he made some plays with his feet, got some first downs in some situations, and so certainly a good thing for him.
You feel like you were kind of open up today, you know, being able to connect on some of the.
we had some deep opportunities. I think we hit some, we did miss some. And so we got to continue to find ways to get downfield with our guys. We got some really talented players who can play with speed and vertical threats. And so we got to find ways to hit more of them.
Is that just more of a reflection of the way San Francisco was playing with more just a single high, or did you guys make it?
Probably both sides of it. Naturally, you know, defense is going to dictate a few things here and there, but certainly we were trying to find more opportunities as we went.
Yeah, the pass to a lot, or Rashid, the deep ball to start the game, basically, was one hell of a threat.
Through two games, how's it been for you kind of balancing, you know, the play calling while also being a head coach? Like, what's that been like for you, and has that been tough?
Yeah, I feel like it's been good. We got a good group of coaches. We all are on the same page. You know, there's certainly opportunities that we get to keep growing from, but I feel like the communication's been really good, and so you know, we just got to play better.
Yeah, overall, I like the play calling. Overall, I like what Kellen's done, just as a play caller, like not even as a head coach, but just what we're doing on offense. I think it's been fine.
Coach, a lot of guys speak to your prep and how you've helped them prepare for weeks in and weeks out. Going into week three, is there any difference going to be in the prep work that you do to give to the players and for your coaching staff?
I think we just really got to lock in on the plan. And, you know, we talk about, you know.
Travel changes things a little bit. You basically lose a day. So travel is always a wrinkle. So we'll see how Kellen handles that.
A blueprint each and every week. There's a defined blueprint for all three phases and how we want to win the game from a team perspective. And we got to focus on that. We got to get that done. This will be our first game on the road in a really loud environment in Seattle. It'll be our first time with this group in those environments. And so, you know, there's great opportunity and excitement when you go on the road and you do it together. And you.
Yeah, honestly, road trips sometimes can be good for a team. You know, like Jim Harbaugh, I know, has always been a big proponent of that. Sometimes he even keeps his teams on the road. Like if they have back-to-back road games, he'll go, I'm just trying to make up like a destination, but like let's say the Saints play in Seattle and then they play in Arizona. Like sometimes Harbaugh would go to the first stop and then he would go somewhere neutral. Like he would go to New Mexico or something, stay for that week and then go play the second road game, kind of like a mini camp type thing, like a retreat. So being on the road, changing your environment, sometimes can be good. And it is kind of funny. In my Madden dynasty, I dropped my first two games on the last play of the game. The 49ers kicked a field goal to beat me, and then the Cardinals, same thing. And then I beat the Seahawks on the road. So I wonder if this will be the same.
We have to rally together, and so, you know, it'll be an exciting opportunity for us to go get it.
You know, I'm not here to watch the film, but how do you feel like Sanger did, but also just the communication with the secondary?
Yeah, I felt like for the most part, you know, communication was good. I don't feel like we had a bunch of miscommunication on the back end. We gave ourselves opportunities. We just got to take advantage of the ops.
Yeah, I would assume Isaac Yiadom is going to have a rough PFF grade. He was getting roasted the entire time.
With the footing, you were saying players were commenting about that pregame. Like, what can you do at that point, like beyond maybe just getting to the cleats?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it really had an impact on this game. It's fine.
Kellen, did you address the transaction y'all had Saturday, the trade for the receiver?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jalen's obviously on injured reserve already, so he was already on injured reserve with New England, so we were able to acquire him. We're really excited about that. He was, you know, everyone watched him coming out of the draft. You know, just last year, we felt like everyone, when I was in Philly, when the staff here was in New Orleans, obviously, everyone had great feedback on it. We felt like it was a great opportunity for the future to bring a guy in who we all think highly of, add to that room. We feel like that room has, you know, we just got a ton of depth in that room for certainly this year. And, you know, his becomes a factor in next year. And so that'll be a different.
It is interesting, too, to think about, like, when Kellen is talking about someone like Jalen Polk, he is also, he's basically, well, not basically, literally, he gets to take the draft prep and what the prep was in Philadelphia and bring it to New Orleans. So it's kind of a unique situation because he's taking whatever Philly does and whatever their process is, they went through that process with Jalen Polk, right? And Kellen can take that knowledge and take that understanding and take those conversations, bring it to New Orleans. And that goes for a bunch of players, but it's something you got to factor in too.
Experience there, but you know, we feel like we're just adding to a really talented room right now.
How much are you hoping a fresh start for him kind of?
Yeah. I mean, it's the first year in the NFL. I mean, I'm not going to overreact to whatever happened in New England. That there's some, you know, some circumstances there. We liked him coming out, got good feedback, excited with where he's going.
Kim, circling back to Sanker's play, how do you think they kind of step up in the pocket?
Yeah. I thought Jonas did a really good job. I'll obviously have to watch the film and evaluate it, but from my standpoint, just watching the game, felt like he made a couple really sound tackles. I thought him and Justin communicated at a really high level on the back end. Certainly feel like we're in a good position with those guys back there.
There was another play with Justin Reed where Mac Jones threw like a pseudo out route floater thing that Justin Reed broke up. And that was another one of those plays. Like, if he gets his head around, I feel like he could have picked the ball off. Like, it was just floating out there. Cool, he broke it up. But that's another one of those plays where it's like, man, you pick that off, you know, completely changes the game.
Is there anything you saw on the missed field goal in the operation?
Yeah, no. I'll have to get the feedback on that later.
Yeah, Blake's going to figure it out. I mean, you can't – he's going to have to go on a stretch here where he doesn't miss another field goal for a while, because I think right now you probably bring in kickers. Just, if nothing else, just to say, like, hey, man, like, get it together. And I know Sean Payton was famous for bringing in kickers and punters every single week. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if Blake just has the yips. I don't know. Maybe he's slipping. Who the hell knows? But he's got to figure it out fast.
I mean, with two missed picks from Ruben Allen, is there?
Obviously, we just got to get better, you know. Blake's got too much good going on. He's just got to get better, clean it up. I think he will.
Were there any injuries?
Nothing that impacted that game. Everyone finished the game. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. Thank you for watching. I'll see you in the next video.
The Omaha Steaks end of season sale is here to deliver everything you crave to reset after the holidays. From handcrafted USDA certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, versatile chicken and pork, and more. You know exactly what you're getting. Premium lean protein that everyone loves. Visit OmahaSteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their end-of-season sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code AUDIO at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.